welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Today's episode of the Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by SomersetSportsPerformance.com. Go to SomersetSportsPerformance.com for a personalized and comprehensive guide to your fitness and nutritional life. On their website, you will receive a daily personalized workout routine, complete with exercise demonstrations and videos, as well as daily meal and eating plan, including shopping lists and recipes. SomersetSportsPerformance.com gives you everything you need to lead a more full and healthy life, and all starting at under $10 a month. I thank them very much for their support. Go check them out today. Today on the podcast, I have Royce, who is a frequent contributor at the forums at EssentialTennis.com, and he and I are going to be discussing a very important topic, and that is footwork. So sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for Essential Tennis Q&A.
My guest on the podcast today is Royce, who's a frequent contributor to the forums at EssentialTennis.com. Royce and I went to college together at Ferris State University, and I really appreciate your contribution, Royce, both on the live show and on the forums, and now here on the podcast. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Ian. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, today's question is coming to us from Charles, who is obviously also a frequent contributor, and he posted in the podcast section of the forums to ask about footwork. And I'm going to read his question here, and then Royce and I are going to talk about his topic, which is all about footwork. So he wrote to us and said, "One of the least explained parts of tennis is footwork. Ideally, one tries to hit the same shot over and over, and the footwork makes that possible by positioning yourself to the ball the same way, time and time again. What is good footwork? What kind of drills can one do to get better at footwork? Why does it seem like so much energy is expended just getting ready for the next shot? If you were to show a club player or a weekend hacker how much hopping up and down Nadal and Federer do, they might exclaim that it's way too tiring to do that much moving around, and they aren't world-class athletes. What do you say to that?" All right, well, Charles, good questions, and you're absolutely correct. I think footwork probably is an underutilized part of a lot of pros' instruction, and yet it's so incredibly important because clearly it's what gets us to the ball. How we move our feet is what positions ourselves with the ball. And basically, you know, essentially what good footwork comes down to, as you pointed out, Charles, was putting yourself in the same position with the ball over and over so that we can hopefully try to make the same swing again and again. So basically we're trying to get the ball around waist height and a comfortable distance from our body so that we can make an effective swing at the ball. Royce, what are your thoughts, just in general, on the importance of footwork? And in your experience, the pros that you work with or have worked with in the past, do you see a lot of pros working on footwork specifically?
Well, let me first answer your first question: how important is footwork? Footwork is paramount to being able to hit a good shot, whether it be you're at the net or you're hitting a forehand or backhand. You need to have good footwork so you're constantly in the right position and balanced to be able to hit, not only hit that ball, but then recover so you're ready for, you know, the whole point. And then kind of going into your second question there, Ian, as to whether or not I see some of the other pros working on it specifically, not so much. There are some that they might mention a few things in terms of different steps, etc., during a live ball hitting drill with the pro and their student, but nothing specifically as to, you know, take a drop step there or, you know, making sure you're getting a pivot correctly or whatnot to hitting the ball and moving your feet correctly.
Yeah, and that's pretty much been my experience as well with a lot of people I've taught with. Where I'm teaching right now, I think the guys I'm teaching with full time are pretty exceptional teachers, at least compared with kind of the industry as a whole. And they've both, I've seen them both do good jobs doing footwork drills and explaining it. But when I go and watch other pros, it's not usually explained. Like, just like you're talking about, they'll kind of make a comment here and there, but it's not something where they say, okay, we're going to stop now. We're going to discuss your footwork. It's not good. And this is the drill we're going to do to work on it. And this is how it relates to your game, etc. I don't really see it being used as like a instructional topic as a whole, where, you know, the pro is actually taking time out to work on that specifically. So let's do that for Charles and for the rest of our listeners. I have three things put down here under the topic of what is good footwork, and three things that to me are kind of the most important points that somebody has to be good at and has to be doing in order to be doing good footwork, to be positioning themselves well. And the first one I have down, Royce, is moving your feet when you don't have to, and basically at all times. Everybody knows that once the ball has been hit by your opponents, yeah, clearly we got to start moving. We've got to get to the ball. But I think what a lot of people take for granted when they watch professional tennis, they'll watch the ball travel back and forth. But a lot of times, I don't think observers of tennis see just one player. I think everybody should watch one player during a tennis match and just see what they're doing with their feet, because there's an incredible amount of footwork going on in between shots, after they've hit their shot and before their opponent has even made contact with theirs. What's your input on that that first topic, Royce?
Well, I think you're exactly correct, Ian. You know, one of the things that I spend a lot of time trying to ingrain in my students is that the only time during a point when they should stop moving is right before they swing and make contact. At every point prior to that, they should be, their feet should be moving to making sure that they're in optimal position. And that's one of those things that if you're able to focus and spend that much time watching a professional player during a match and just watching one person, and being able to understand and see that, you know, would be huge.
Yeah, I agree. One of the pros that I teach with brought in an article to a team practice one day, which stated that on average, amateur level players between shots, meaning from one shot they hit to the next shot that they hit, in between shots from one shot to the next that they themselves hit, the average amateur takes between 3 and 5 steps. And the average professional is taking somewhere between 8 and 12 steps. Some kind of number right around there, where obviously the pros, and you could say, and we're going to get to the point later that, or the question that Charles had about being world-class athletes. I mean, you could say that, yes, they're in great shape, and so they can do that. But in my experience, the number of steps that players take isn't really related to how good an athlete they are or how good a shape they're in, but it's kind of just good habits or you know, good technique, being a good player, and knowing that's how much work you should be putting in. What about you? With your students, do you find that it's a matter of conditioning or more that they haven't really been schooled in correct footwork or how much they should be moving?
I think it's the latter. You know, that they... it's more a result. A lot of them have the conditioning to do it, you know, but I think that it's also in many respects going to in the opposite direction. It's the fact that they don't have the conditioning, or excuse me, they do have the conditioning to do it, but they choose not to.
Sure.
You know, so there's a lot of, I would almost say laziness and willingness to make sure that they're in the right position.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, you know, in a lot of, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say it's not that they're choosing not to move their feet, but that, you know, they just don't know. Unfortunately, I do have students who are just choosing not to work hard, and that's obviously frustrating as a teacher. But there's a lot of players out there who just don't know that they're not moving their feet effectively. And that kind of brings me to the second topic under what is good footwork. I've got three subtopics here. The first one, moving your feet at all times, in between shots, on the way to the ball, clearly. Recovery, getting back to the middle of the court or back to a position that's as good on the court to prepare yourself for the next shot. Next up, I have taking little steps instead of big ones. And I think a big mistake that amateur players make is making too large a steps towards the ball instead of making small, little quick steps. A lot of times I see kind of big lunging steps, which is not only slower, but I find that a lot of times players will overstep or understep where they should be, and they kind of make up kind of a, not a stomp, but, you know, they've made their last step, and it's like, okay, I'm in position now, and the ball hasn't gotten there, and their feet are kind of planted. Is this something that you see as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the one thing, just to clarify, you know, with that is that for me, I'm a big-time preacher of taking big steps to the ball, big steps, big steps, big steps to the ball, but then take the minute breaking, the steps to break yourself down so you're balanced and upright. The larger steps are inherently faster to get there. You're traveling a greater distance, you know, but then it's just a matter of making sure that you do take the time to take those smaller steps, the adjustment steps, to really get yourself into optimal position. You know, and that's something that I see a lot of, that they don't necessarily understand the breaking down of the steps. They'll take those lunging steps and then they'll lunge into the ball and do that consistently, you know, 5-10 shot rallies, and wonder why they're so tired at the end of just one point.
Right. No. And I completely agree with you, by the way. That's, you did a better job of explaining that than me. It's not that large steps don't have their place. I definitely agree with that. I mean, if you're having to move across the entire court, then clearly we should be striding out there and getting there as quickly as possible. And yeah, you don't see, you know, sprinters taking little steps. They're obviously striding out and trying to make that long step so that they can cover as much court as possible. But you're right. Once it gets down close to where we're going to be making contact soon, amateur players very often continue to make large steps or stop taking steps because they figure, all right, well, this is kind of close enough. Whereas the professional players, they'll get close and then make a whole bunch of steps right before contact to kind of fine tune exactly where they're standing in relationship to the ball.
Yes. Yeah. Without question that they don't get themselves into that position with the adjustment steps, that they are just taking those big lunging steps, and then they have what I kind of refer to as static weight, that their weight becomes, you know, it almost non-existent in terms of facilitating movement, that it's actually hindering them,
yeah,
you know, and everything. So it's, those lunging steps are just absolutely brutal.
Yeah, no, and once, you know, people who do have that habit, I find that once they've kind of made that last step, whenever it might be, in relation to as far as when the ball is coming to them, whenever they've made that last step, it's kind of like, that's it. And if the ball ends up being a little close or a little far, then they just end up making their swing off balance. Whereas somebody who has the habit of making those smaller adjustment steps, it's easy for them to continue moving their feet. And even after the ball is bounced, they're able to make a quick adjustment and move their body out of the way instead of being stuck. I like how you said static weight, kind of being stationary. And that's kind of the result, isn't it? Is basically just hitting a lot of shots off balance.
Yeah, and that and your point of contact and everything is not ever going to be consistent. You know, you're going to be lucky to be able to hit the same ball two times in a row,
yeah,
if you're taking those big steps, because you're never going to be taking the exact same stride into the ball. You know, you're just taking a big step and hoping the ball's going to be where you're thinking it's going.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Last up, under what is good footwork, I have something we just talked about on the Essential Tennis Live show, and that is using a split step. I think the split step is probably, in my experience and in my opinion, the most underutilized part of footwork in the game of tennis by amateur players. Would you say that's accurate in your experience too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just balance in general is something that's not, you know, that the split step inherently facilitates. you know, the balance that it facilitates is just something that's gone with a lot of people.
Yeah. Go ahead and Royce, why don't you go ahead and describe to our listeners as far as you're concerned, what are the most important parts of doing a split step correctly? What do you think?
Well, this is tough because it goes back to a delineation that I see between a competitive player and a recreational player or a club level player.
Okay.
That a competitive player, you can take a little bit more of a pronounced split step where you're actually almost jumping off the ground a little bit. I don't like that, nor do I try and teach that to my rec players, only because a lot of them, when they come down flat-footed.
Okay.
So at that point, again, you have static weight, and you have to take the time and the energy to get yourself back up under the balls of your feet and move. So what I try and teach them is what I refer to as like a split spring. So as you're moving in, you're taking those small adjustment steps and you're rising up onto the balls of your feet and not necessarily jumping. You know, that your feet are shoulder width apart thereabouts, and you're just kind of rising up and making sure that you're balanced and able to move in any direction. You know, that way you're not really having to worry about catching yourself coming down from a small hop, and you're able to move with relative ease.
Yeah, and you'll see the pros do both of those actually as well. That's the first time I've heard it referred to as a split spring, but I know what you're talking about. Usually I refer to that as using kind of a stutter step, mm-hmm. catching your balance with a couple of real quick little kind of shuffles of the feet. Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But I agree with you. Yeah, those are two different ways that we can do it. Both the hop. I know that for myself personally, when I'm playing, I prefer the hop myself. I mean, Royce and I have played together. Royce knows I both of us rely on our foot speed quite a lot. And I really like the feeling actually of getting down low into a nice low stance with my feet wide. I feel like I can push off real quickly and be explosive from that position. But I agree. I can see where a lower level player definitely might not have the timing and maybe even have the strength or the endurance to push up from that position over and over and over for, you know, 2 hours. That could definitely be tough. So you don't even really teach kind of the hopping method at all? What about to a higher level player?
To a higher level player, I will. Okay. You know, and that's the thing is that there, for me, I see a relatively large delineation between the two. You know, that there are those, the better players understand it and they have the mentality of not coming down flat footed. They understand the principles of,
sure,
you know, the split step and the benefits of doing the split step, you know, whereas a lot of the rec players, I'm just trying to make sure they're on the balls of their feet and able to move, you know, so at that point, I'm trying to facilitate movement and ease of movement, you know, versus trying to really get them to be able to jump up and everything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, what Royce is saying is the most important part here is balancing your body. We want to be in a position as your opponent is making contact. We want to be in a position where you can easily take your body's momentum and transfer it and move it somewhere else on the court, because they're about to hit a shot that they're going to try to challenge you with. At least that's the idea, hopefully, is they're trying to hit a good shot. And so if you're not in control of what your body is doing, then you're going to find yourself in a really tough spot trying to get to the ball, period. And then after that, trying to hit the ball under balance. So what Royce is talking about, being on the balls of your feet, is absolutely necessary if you want to move more efficiently, if you want to be in better balance, and if you want to be able to react to the ball quicker. What he's talking about is absolutely essential. And I've written blog articles about this. Guys, go to my blog at essentialtennis.com. And I've done whole articles just on the timing of the split step. What are your thoughts on the timing of it, Royce? I typically tell people that they should be getting to the balls of their feet, whether it be a hop or a stutter step or whatever. They should be getting on the balls of their feet and in that position as their opponent makes contact. What do you usually tell people?
I try and go slightly before that. I want them slightly balanced right before contact. So,
okay.
You know, that way, again, a lot of the people that I teach are 3-0 women thereabouts who lack foot speed. You know, so a lot of the ways that I look at it is, you know, ways to really develop and expedite their movement. So if I can get them to do it slightly earlier, and so they're balanced and they're able just to react that much faster, you know, so much the better.
No, I think that's a good plan. Yeah, I guess if you had to pick one or the other, being a little bit earlier or a little bit late, yeah, I guess for that level of player, being a little bit early and being prepared a little sooner probably would make a lot of sense, since they don't really have the as much agility, most likely, to be able to make up for the fact of being late on a split step. Anything else to add to any of those three topics, Royce, before we move on to Charles's next question?
Well, I think just real quickly, you know, Ian, you mentioned balance. The one thing I think also just to that is somewhat intertwined within balance is just making sure that with that balance, you're having the correct posture to be able to hit, that the footwork facilitates, you know, the correct balance and posture. So you're, again, not out of position with your body to expedite movement.
So do you think that balance and posture are they the same thing? Are they completely different?
I wouldn't say that they're completely different, nor would I say that they're the same.
Okay.
You know, that a lot of the time, you know, that you don't want to have, your feet might be in position, but you don't want to be able to be hitting with a hunched back, you know, looking like the hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, there are things within your posture that you want to have correct as well, but by making sure that your footwork is getting in position, then you're allowing yourself the opportunity to have that good posture as you're hitting the ball.
Sure. No, that makes sense. All right, good stuff, Royce. And so that wraps up the first section, what is good footwork? And just to recap, Royce and I discussed making a lot of steps and moving even when you don't quote unquote have to, meaning moving in between shots, moving a lot on the way to the ball after you've hit to reposition yourself and recover, etc. Make sure you guys are taking little steps to position yourself with the ball. Don't only take big ones. You guys should be taking big ones to get to the ball, but make sure that you position yourself with smaller ones. And then lastly, the split step. Split step is extremely important. Next up, Royce, let's discuss drills that players can do to get better at footwork. I've got three marked down here. Any that you want to talk about that come to mind right away?
Not initially. I'd be curious to hear what you have and, you know, and see what if we have any overlapping thoughts and go from there.
Yeah, sure. The first one I have down is something I use with all of my cardio tennis drills, and something that I bust out for special occasions when somebody is in need of kind of a particular amount of attention to their footwork. And that is an agility ladder or a footwork ladder. And this is something you guys can buy online and is basically just what it sounds like. It's a ladder, kind of like a rope ladder that you lay down on the courts. And it's usually made up of somewhere probably around 15 or so boxes that the ladder runs, split it up into. And there's a whole ton of different footwork drills you guys can do using the ladder. And you guys could probably get a mental picture of football players kind of running tires, that kind of thing. Or they'll run like a rope, a grid also. There's a lot of different drills using footwork like that, keeping yourself on your toes, taking a lot of little steps, and there's different patterns that you can run through the ladder that can help you moving in different directions and using kind of different patterns. Have you used a ladder before, Royce, in your teaching?
Yeah, I have. I do it mostly with my cardio tennis as well.
Yeah.
And we've had quite a bit of success with that.
Yeah, it's a good way to keep people moving in between shots. And talking about taking little steps, this is a tool you guys can use to really help your explosiveness and your foot speed, increasing the speed of your steps. Next up, I had the Spanish drill, which is infamous. And the Spanish drill basically puts You need two players to be able to do this, and a bunch of balls. You need a basket of balls. One player stands in front of the other in no man's land and tosses balls in different directions, to the right, to the left. It could be short, could be deep, and the player hitting has to move in all those different directions and make contact with the ball at waist height each time by moving their feet well and then recovering back to the middle of the baseline again. And so this is very much a conditioning drill and a footwork drill. To be able to move in a lot of different directions and recover quickly after each one. Have you done the Spanish drill, Royce?
A few times in the recent past. Not really. Don't have anyone that that I could really be using that with. I mean, just level of play and everything.
Yeah.
And there are things that other drills that I'll do that I'd sooner do before that.
I've prided myself on using the Spanish drill on as low a level as possible, just to get them working hard and give them a taste of what it really takes to be a good player out there. Then again, you know, I kind of have a reputation as being kind of a hard ass on the court, but I enjoy using that drill because it gets people working hard, and it's easy to really focus on footwork.
I go, there's another drill similar to that.
Yeah.
That I actually use. I'll bring people into the service box and, tell them they can only hit all forehands, and I can toss the ball anywhere in the service box and have them go for maybe two and a half minutes straight.
Nice.
And, have them basically just hold the racket out of contact, so they're feeling where contact is, and just a nice kind of push through contact, hitting the ball back towards me. You know, I'm tossing the balls to them. I don't want them hitting them because I don't want to die. But, you know, beyond that, that way they're feeling contact, but they're also really having to move quickly in any direction to hit that shot, and then we'll have them switch sides. You know, so if they're hitting forehands and they're hitting all backhands and everything, that way it's for me, a more focused drill, so to speak, than just tossing balls in any random direction.
No, I like that. That's good. Yeah, that way they get, like you said, kind of more focus on one particular stroke and using their feet to position themselves accordingly. And I like the control element of that as well, being able to keep the ball under control enough just to tap it back to you rather than making a large swing and maybe being a little bit sloppier. But yeah, I hadn't seen that done before. I've done that with players on the baseline in feeding balls. But I'd never seen anybody do that before, kind of using short court. But I like that. I'm gonna have to use that with your permission. I'll call that the Royce drill.
As long as you send me the royalties.
All right. Yeah, you got it. And I just had one more here, and that was the Z ball. Have you seen a Z ball before, Royce? I'm sure you have.
Is that the ball with all the nubs or whatever?
Yeah. It's like it's got you know, it's a ball, but it's got like six individual half circles on it, and it's made out of rubber, like a bouncy ball type material, so that when you toss it up in the air, you don't know where the heck it's going to bounce. And a good way of using this is have one player turn their back to you, maybe in the middle of the baseline, and then throw the ball up in the air and say go, and the player retrieving the ball has to quick turn around, find it in the air, and then go and get it before, let's say, its third bounce. And so there's a lot of quick maneuvering back and forth to be able to keep up with the different directions the ball bounces. And it's a good way to work on kind of your reaction time and your foot speed, getting to the ball quickly and being able to change directions. Those are the three I had down. Do you have any other ones to add, Royce, before we move on?
Not specific footwork drills outside of the one that that I just mentioned. A lot of the drills that I do are within a bigger drill context, so to speak. When I do a lot of my cardio tennis, I try to really work and become real specific on the footwork needed to hit certain shots. So whether, you know, we're working on an inside-out forehand, kind of go over the drop step to get the hips cleared and whatnot. So that way they're able to hit that ball, but nothing real specific.
Okay. All right. Well, Charles, there's at least four good ideas for you and everybody else listening to be able to work on your footwork specifically. And a couple of those you needed a partner for. Hopefully you guys have a practice partner you can go hit the courts with. And the products like the Agility Ladder and the Z-Ball, you guys can find those online, both for relatively cheaply. I've seen the Agility Ladder in general sports stores as well. It's possible you could find the Z-Ball in a national or local chain sports outlet also. All right, lastly, Charles asked one more question in his post, and that was, why does it seem like so much energy is expended just getting ready for the next shot? And Royce, this was the part of his question that you had, I believe, had answered specifically. And what I my response in my outline here was in all capitals, because it should. There should be that much energy expended. Listen, guys, if you want to improve your game, if you want to move your game to the next level, and you don't currently leave the court exhausted after hitting for an hour and a half or 2 hours, if you walk off the court and you still feel like you could go out and play, you know, the whole rest of the day, there's probably something you're not doing right. You're not moving your feet enough. You're probably not moving your feet with enough intensity. Royce, why don't you go ahead and expand on that question of his? Why does it seem like so much energy is being expended?
Well, it's tough because on the forum, I mentioned that I disagree in principle to the fact that taking a lot of steps should be expending a lot of energy, because in essence or in thought, you really shouldn't be expending that much energy because you're upright. You know, an upright position is relatively easy for us to be able to move through. You know, it's just a matter of making sure that we're in that position to be in that, to be there. You know, whereas you're taking the big steps and kind of what we had mentioned earlier, you're taking those large steps to the ball, that's where it gets really exhausting. You know, that some people will be doing 100 plus lunges a match.
Sure.
And that's where I take issue with the thought that you need to be in great shape to move yourself to that next level. You just need to be able to expedite your movement and become that much, you know, better at it, you know, with the smaller steps and everything. As long as you're upright, you're not going to be expending as much energy as you're currently expending. That being said, I do agree with you, Ian, that there is an intensity that you need to have to get yourself moving that much. You know, it's just a matter of kind of training your mind and your body to be able to do it.
Yeah, I agree. And one other thing to keep in mind, Charles, in addition to what Royce just said, is that if you do the work, and Royce kind of alluded to this during his explanation there, if you do the work to move your feet correctly in between shots, if you do the work to prepare yourself, if your body is in the right position to move efficiently, you're actually going to come away more relaxed, and it's probably going to end up being less physical exertion or less physical work per stroke because you're actually moving correctly, as opposed to barely getting to a shot and swinging off balance, where your body is uncomfortable and you're having to muscle through the shot, and then doing a poor job recovering, and your opponent hits to the other side of the court, and then you kind of lumber on over there and hit off balance again, and you're just kind of, it's kind of a struggle back and forth and just always kind of fighting against yourself. If you can keep yourself in balance by using the split step, if you can use the different types of steps that Royce and I have talked about, if you can keep your posture like Royce is talking about, if you can do all of those things and start to discipline yourself to move better, like the things we're talking about, yes, Royce is correct. You're actually going to end up using less net energy, and that will allow you to actually kind of try harder and be a little more intense, because you'll be in better balance and you'll be able to use your body a little bit more effectively. Is that making sense, Royce?
Yeah, no, that I think that that sums it up well. And one thing, you know, Charles, that even though you're talking specific footwork to kind of bring this back to a larger picture as well, is to making sure that you're also understanding patterns. You know, that the footwork will get you there, but if you're also not understanding the correct pattern, whether it be, you know, the cross-court ball should, you know, elicit a cross-court reply, et cetera. Again, you're going to be getting yourself out of position, you know, so in the long run, your net expenditure of energy is going to be much greater than it would be if you're moving correctly as well as understanding those patterns.
Yeah, and that comes down under the topic heading of anticipation. Yeah, you're right. Knowing the patterns and what's likely, you know, what's a reasonable shot to go for, that's going to help people move their bodies more wisely. You're right, so that they don't have to use as much energy. All right, we're out of time. These recordings always go by so fast, but we've covered a lot of great topics there. It's obvious we could keep on going on several of these, but hopefully, Charles, that's good enough to start. And if you have any follow-up questions, or if any other listeners out there, if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to go to the forums and post under this this topic, or you can send your questions to me at ian@essentialtennis.com. Royce, thanks very much for being my guest and for your insights having to do with footwork here. I appreciate you coming on the show.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That brings the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 65, to a close. Thank you very much for joining me today on the show. And I'm going to close today's show the same way that I have the last couple, and that is by asking you to please help spread the word for the Essential Tennis Podcast. If this show has helped you and it has helped to improve your game and you appreciate the content that I'm giving on a weekly basis, please do me a favor and help me spread the word by telling your hitting partners, your friends, your teammates, anybody you can about the show. And you can help me grow the show and increase its downloads, and that would be awesome. I'd really appreciate any help you guys could give me spreading the word. All right, so until next week, take care, everybody, and good luck with your tennis.